Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join us for this broadcast today. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion. Your input into this broadcast is invited and appreciated. Let me remind you, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I've said so many times down through the years, my opinion, your opinion, is all combined, our opinions are not worth a dime. You can get opinions a dime a dozen, as the old cliche goes. So when we are seeking answers, searching for solutions and resolutions of issues, I suggest that we go to the Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I find it so disconcerting among Christians in particular, where they will face issues and problems and difficulties, and perhaps you've done that. You'll seek answers and counsel and advice and direction from dozens of sources, and then maybe, finally, occasionally, go to the Bible and see what God says. May I suggest that we go there first? Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear a lot of people say, "The truth shall make you free." But how is that truth inculcated that sets us free? Continuing in the Word of God. As we continue in the Word of God gets into our hearts and our lives, and it sets us free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And he gives the basic crescendo of answering what is truth by saying in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so as we face issues, let me recommend a biblical worldview of seeking the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures say? How are they to be applied in our lives? It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that taking place today. And as I've said so often, all you need to do is look to Washington and see what's happening with the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. And you'll understand that they do not understand the word truth. I don't even believe they can spell the word truth, ladies and gentlemen. But we need to seek the truth, whether it's political, social, whether it be in the realm of home and the authority of God in the home or in the church, doctrinally, theologically, etc. We need to see what the Word of God says and allow the Word of God to be that which directs our footsteps and guides our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. In fact, they carry the full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional landscaper. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment and has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about backup power and generation. They also carry hurricane cleanup equipment, chainsaws, et cetera, et cetera. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, where is 11291 Old St. Augustine Road? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic U.S. flag flies. Find that gigantic U.S. flag at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. At the base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com. Toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number. Sometimes I get caught up and involved in what I'm wanting to say and forget to remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have intersection with dialogue and discussion together. So I invite you to do so. We're talking about today the question of a two-state solution. A two-state solution. We're talking about the nation of Israel. We're talking about Israel and a state called Palestine. The Palestinians, do they exist? Is there an ethnic group of people known as Palestinians? Do they exist today? Is Israel truly an encroacher on someone else's land, or does it belong to Israel? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, to divide Jerusalem and have two capitals, divide Jerusalem and make Israel divided, and it be, if you please, the territory claimed by the Islamic jihadists, i.e. the Arabs and Israelis alike? That's the question that begs to be answered. It's a question that's been bounded about now for quite a few years under different presidents and different leaderships down through the years, bounded about. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get to the focus of that, let me lead into that with an elongated monologue that I believe will set the stage so that you will understand where we're going and how we're going to get there. So be pondering that question. Do you believe that a two-state solution is right for Israel? Do you believe that God's land, the nation of Israel, should be divided and parceled out to the Arabs, the jihadists that want to kill the Jewish people? What are your thoughts about that? What basis do you give your thoughts? On what authority do you make your claim? Are you for it or are you against it? I'd love to hear from you because we're going to talk about that after an elongated monologue to get to that point so that it sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're all saddened and sorrowful and need to be in prayer for the loved ones of those that were lost in the slaughter of six people that were shot and killed at and in a Jewish kosher deli in Jersey City. This terrorist act was focused on the Jewish patrons in the marketplace. This is not only hate of Jewish people, but it's an open terrorist attack in America, just as the recent attack on the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. That terrorist attack was by Islamic jihadists. Here are two or three articles that will set the stage for where we want to go. This article says, fears mount that New Jersey shooting was an anti-Semitic attack. Jersey City, Jersey, fears that a deadly shooting at the Jewish market in Jersey City was an anti-Semitic attack mounted on Wednesday as authorities recounted how a man and woman deliberately pulled up into place in a stolen rental van with at least one rifle and got out and started firing. A day after the gun battle and standoff, left six people dead. The two killers, a police officer and three people who had been inside the store. The two killers, ladies and gentlemen, a police officer and three people who were inside the store. State and federal law enforcement officials warn that they have not established the motive for the attack. This was some of the first news coming out on that, ladies and gentlemen. I think they've established that today. We'll look at another article in a moment. But Mayor Steve said surveillance video of the attackers made it clear they targeted the kosher market, and he pronounced the bloodshed a hate crime against Jews, as did New York mayor and governor. Also, investigators believe that the two dead attackers, who were thought to be a couple, identified themselves in the past, listen, as Black Hebrew Israelis, a movement whose members have been known to rail against whites and Jews, according to law enforcement officials who have been briefed on the matter, but was not authorized to discuss the case publicly and spoke on condition of anonymity. In addition, authorities found social media posting from at least one of the killers that were anti-police, anti-Jewish, the official said. The FBI on Wednesday searched the Harlem headquarters of the Israeli Church of God in Christ Jesus, which is the formal name of the Black Hebrew group, according to the officials. Two of the victims of the store were identified by members of the Orthodox Jewish community. Ladies and gentlemen, it was an open assault on the Jewish people. This article further says within seconds of pulling up to the market, Anderson got out with a rifle and immediately began shooting and Graham followed him into the store. He would not say whether Graham had a weapon. A pipe bomb was also found in the van, according to the FBI agent that is in charge of the case. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article. Jersey City shootout. Mayor says deadly attack on kosher deli was targeted hate crime. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we call it a hate crime, and that's exactly what it was, a hatred of Jewish people. But it goes deeper and broader than that. It is a jihadist terrorist attack on the soils of America. And that's exactly what we see taking place, just as in the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. This article further says, Jersey City, Dateline, the suspects began their killing spree at a Jersey City cemetery, fatally shooting veteran police officer before driving a stolen van to the front door of the family-owned kosher market and opening fire again, setting off hour-long gun battle that would leave a total of six people dead and the Jewish community on both sides of the Hudson River in mourning. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a horrific thing when we see these events unfolding before our eyes in the United States of America. And I'll not read the next article. It just says, Jersey City suspects targeted kosher store where three died, officials say. Surveillance video shows the moments that Jersey City suspect entered the kosher store. They focused and they targeted, ladies and gentlemen, one ethnic group of people. They're known as the Jewish people, United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware that this is now the second time in just a matter of weeks that we've seen the Islamic jihadist attack on the soil of the United States of America. I don't know about you, but as I watch the prophetic text jump off the scripture and talking about where we're going and pointing out the end result of what's going to happen in America, and yet I'm saddened to see that most of our political leaders, both local, state, and national leaders, have their eyes closed, they're blindfolded, or they want to be see nothing, know nothing, hear nothing, and do nothing. I don't know what the case may be in each of the events, but ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting back basically with our hands under our feet and doing nothing. Here's the article talking about that which had taken place in Pensacola, Florida. Saudi Air Force officer Mohammed Saeed kills three people and injures several others in mass shooting terror attack at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. Governor Ron DeSantis said Friday was one of the darkest days in the history of the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. This is the first Muslim terror attack on American soil since Donald J. Trump has been president. At least it feels that was as opposed to the dozens of others Muslim attacks when Barack Obama was president, end quote. He just goes on in the article, ladies and gentlemen, talking about what has taken place with the terrorist attack on the soil in America. By the way, I find today a thing that is beyond the scope of imagination, that on a military base where our military men can fly jet airplanes, where they can fire missiles, where they can drive tanks, where they can go off to war and put their lives on the line, where they can do battle with the enemy to protect America, but on their own home base, they're not allowed to carry a weapon on base. I think it's time the regulations change. I think it's time there's some serious investigation done as to the rationale behind that. I think that if we'd had our officers on base armed, at least when the attack started, they could have extinguished the situation rapidly and caused the death toll to be far less, if at all, as a result of being armed. Anytime there's a place, ladies and gentlemen, that's known as a gun-free zone, it's an open target with a bullseye on it for the those that want to come in, the terrorists want to come in and tear down and destroy. Here's the article, another one. Gunman dead after killing three and wounding several others at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. Four people were killed and multiple others were injured in a shooting at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, early Friday morning. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Islamic jihadist hate crime. It's the hatred for Israel. It's the hatred for America being vented on American soil. My question is, how do we allow this to take place? What is the rationale behind the allowance of thousands and thousands of these coming into America? Ladies and gentlemen, that terrorist attack was by an Islamic jihadist from Saudi Arabia. We must change all the regulations that are. By the way, I understand that there was another 400, 450 Saudi students, air students, airline pilot students, or student pilots, that's at the air base, Naval Air Station at Pensacola. I understand that on a national level, we have probably over 5,000 foreigners that's dressed in uniform at the United States of America's expense, teaching them how to fly an airplane. You recall, ladies and gentlemen, when 3,000 U.S. citizens were murdered on 9/11, 3,000 lives were taken. The overwhelming majority of those flying the airplanes had training from American bases and from American flight schools. And the joke was that they didn't want to learn how to land a plane, just how to take off and how to fly the plane. And yet that seemingly did not teach us anything from that. I am personally adamantly opposed to taking these foreign students in, not knowing anything about, you cannot vet their backgrounds. They say we need to have tighter vetting. You cannot vet the background of most of these foreigners coming in that are jihadists wanting to destroy America and the Jewish people. You can't vet them when they have a half a dozen different ways to spell their names. You have no source and resources for doing any vetting in foreign nations as we have in America. And yet we claim to have vetted them and they're all right. What does it mean? That they smile okay? What does it mean? That they can lie well and lie about their background and what they're doing and why? But this jihadist from the Naval Air Station that slaughtered those at Pensacola, the Naval Air Station, ladies and gentlemen, they've discovered that talk about his being radicalized. Let me just interject this thought, ladies and gentlemen. No such thing as a radical Islamic jihadist. Hear me. If you study the Quran, if you believe that Muhammad is the only prophet of Allah, if you believe that Allah is God, if you believe that Allah and Muhammad gave you the Quran, and you read the Quran, you want to obey the Quran, you are in fact radical. Let me just illustrate that. I'm a radical Christian. I believe what the Word of God says. I believe the Word of God is infallible. I believe what God's Word says ought to be inculcated in my life as a Christian. So therefore, if you want to call it radicalization, I'm radical, and every Christian ought to be a radical Christian in believing and following, adhering to, and obeying the Word of God. So when you make a transition with that thought, you can't say that a Muslim somehow, some way got radicalized, or when did he get radicalized? If he has a Quran, if he believes the Quran, he is a radical Islamic, and given the opportunity, will kill you or me. I've studied the Quran too long, too many years, have too much knowledge of what their Quran says they ought to do. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again that after 9/11, the FBI went into a in-depth study of the question, what caused 9/11? The FBI report that was published and bound in 2006, the bottom line of that question was, is that all of the 9/11 attackers read and obeyed the Quran. Now, you won't hear many politicians telling you that. Read and obeyed the Quran. And so, ladies and gentlemen, getting back to what we're talking about today, we're talking about and getting to in the elongated monologue, getting to the point of talking about the two-state solution. Should Israel be divided and given a portion of Israel to the Palestinian jihadists, the Arab Islamic jihadists that want to destroy the Jewish people and the nation of Israel? In fact, their position and their opinion is that the nation of Israel should not exist at all. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we have thousands of these so-called foreign students that are coming in wanting to be trained in our military installations on how to fly an airplane. They've come to America. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they want to train to destroy America and the Jewish people. Now, there might be a minuscule number that are so mundane in their thinking and so out of it from the standpoint of obeying the Quran that they may have not considered that at this time. We need not be involved in that potentiality, though, in my opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we looking at? What are we thinking about? What are we wanting to see and understand is that for 4,000 years, there has been a struggle between two sons. Listen carefully. Between two sons. The Ishmael, son of Abraham, named Ishmael, the illegal son of Abraham, and Isaac, the son of promise, which is the father of the people of Israel today, the Jewish people. For several thousands of years now, The battle has taken place. The rage continues. And the question is simply, who owns the land? Is the land in the nation of Israel? Does the land belong to the jihadist Islamic Arabs? Is it their land? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you can go through all filter down as much as you want to. You can go down to the base and the bottom of the struggle and the argument and the debate in relationship to the jihadists wanting to destroy America, which is referred to as the great Satan. You can look at their struggle and desire to slay every Jewish person on the face of the globe. And it goes back to the root problem of some 4,000 plus years now of the struggle between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac. The great, 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 great granddaddy of Islam, that is Ishmael, and the great, 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 great granddaddy of Israel, and that is Isaac. There is a mass difference here. Ishmael, ladies and gentlemen, was the son that was of illegitimacy. It was where Hagar produced a son for Abraham, and it was because Sarah and Abraham were unwilling to wait on God's promised son. They were up in age, and their philosophy was, and their feeling, we can't produce a child physically. And so Sarah said, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, why don't you sleep with Hagar? Let her produce a son. It'll be our son, and so forth. And by the way, that's where you find Abraham should have been listening to God and following God and obedient to God rather than listening to and following the ill advice from his wife. But nevertheless, he did. As a result of that, Ishmael was born, and there's been a struggle between Ishmael and Isaac ever since. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is simply, who owns the land? Does the land belong to the descendants of Ishmael or the descendants of Isaac? Which one did God give the land to? The question is very, very simple. We must be remembered and reminded, ladies and gentlemen, that God gave the land to Israel, the Jewish people. The Israelis, the Jewish people, owns the land. In fact, I find it fascinating, and it is probably one of the most renowned articles that you would read on the subject. The title of this article is, This is the Deed to Our Land. Israel's ambassador takes the Bible at the UN to prove the Jewish people and their claim to the land of Israel. Let me just read you a few brief paragraphs from this article. Israel's UN ambassador, Danny Danon, used the Bible to defend the Jewish people's claim to the land of Israel during a special session of the United Nations Security Council. Danon was tasked with the job of providing the case for the Jewish connection to the Holy Land during the session. He outlined four reasons: the Bible, history, international law, and the pursuit of international peace and security. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty strong argument. He's defending the position. He was given the task of defending the position of Israel being the owner of the land in the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. He says the four reasons: the Bible, history, international law, and the pursuit of international peace and security. Then in a dramatic moment, Danon opened the Bible and read aloud God's covenant with Abraham from Genesis 17, where the text says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the generations for an everlasting covenant, and I will give to you and your descendants after you all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and it will be there, and I will be their God." End quote. Danon then raised up the Bible, turned to the attendees, and said, "This is the deed to our land." The Bible. He says, this is the deed to our land. Quote, from the book of Genesis to the Jewish exodus from Egypt to receiving the Torah at Mount Sinai and the realization of God's covenant in the Holy Land of Israel, the Bible paints a consistent picture. The entire history of our people and our connection to Israel begins right here. He continued while lifting up the Bible once again, end quote. Danon argued that all of the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, affirmed that the Jewish people's connection to the land. And he goes further. Danon then told the group how the Jewish people were expelled from Israel. In 70 AD, the Roman Emperor Titus destroyed the Second Temple, expelled the Jewish people, and renamed the land nestled between Egypt and Lebanon, Syria, Palestinia. as a southern province of Syria. That is where the name Palestine comes from, though Jews still live in Jerusalem, he argued, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an article that was stated and could not be stated any more clearly than was stated by the ambassador to Israel, the UN ambassador to the United Nations for Israel, that the land belongs to the Jewish people, and the Bible is God's title deed to the Jewish people for the land of the Jewish people in the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, that was well stated. And yet as recent as this week, ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Marxist Democrats, by the way, it was while they were carrying out the fraudulent, phony impeachment inquisition for President Trump. They were doing that with one hand, saying, don't pay attention to what I'm doing with the left hand. They passed some aberrant resolutions. One of those resolutions deals with agriculture, and they claim it's a resolution helping the farmers, but it's a backdoor approach to circumvent and to neutralize anything that's called the immigration laws. And that particular resolution, Resolution 5038, which has nothing to do with the broadcast other than pointing out to you the two resolutions they passed while with one hand trying to carry out the impeachment process and the other hand doing things that the general public's not even aware of. It hadn't even been covered on national news by any network. But the House Resolution 5038, called the Agricultural Bill, simply says that those immigration workers, the illegal workers, can come in not just for 90 days, not just for 3 or 4 months, but they can come in perpetuity, and that they will then be given green cards, and they will then be given the privilege to vote. They will then be given the privilege that have the federal government to pay for them a home, pay rent, or to pay payments on it, and to make loans available to them without question about history of credit. That's exactly what that farm bill does, ladies. It's agricultural bill, they call it. I'm calling it a farm bill. And they're claiming it's to help the farmers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's to circumvent President Donald J. Trump's stand and tight fist on the immigration laws. It's to allow those to come in, and once they've got a green card, then they would be allowed to vote. Once they're in, they own a home, they would be viewed as citizens. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the whole ploy by the Socialist Marxist Democrats. But ladies and gentlemen, the other resolution that is damaging and is far more, how would you say, intrusive, is the two-state resolution. This two-state resolution, ladies and gentlemen, if it is implemented, would divide Israel into two states, one Jewish and one Palestinian state. Two states, one for Jews and one for the Palestinians, the Arabs, the Abbas crowd, the Palestinian Authority. Those that have great disdain for the Jewish people, those that reject Israel as a nation, those that say the land of Israel belongs to them and the Israelis are the squatters, the ones that have come in, and all of the houses that are being built, they claim need to be torn down because they claim that they belong, the land that it's built on belongs to the Palestinians. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the question. That's the major debate. That's been the debate now into several presidencies, and what should be done. And we'll talk about later in this broadcast what President Trump has done make this thing right, what President Trump has done to stand for Israel, what our president's done to obey the word of God and to be on the side of Israel. Remember God's word, it said that he's going to bless the nations that bless Israel and curse the nations that curse Israel. And I have said for many, many years, I am looking at with great fear the day that we have a president that ceases and desists in any operation of assisting Israel and standing for Israel. It is the day that we'll see the foundation of America collapse, the day that we turn our backs on the nation of Israel, that little postage stamp of land in the Middle East that is the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. I want you to hang in there. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the two-state solution. The resolution that was just passed by the U.S. House of Representatives to divide the nation of Israel into Israeli and Palestinian states. Come back after about a minute. Don't turn your dial. Looking forward to continuing our dialogue discussion on the two-state solution.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.